by and large, the show right after Democracy Now! Gets a bump from its proximity to DN, or in the case of the West Coast stations, the shows between the two airings of Democracy Now! At 6 and 9. It's really kind of a remarkable kind of building off one another. You should see KPFK's program grid. It's like, you know, the morning shows really just succeeded very, very well right next to Now! And then, of course, they roll right back in. So, you know, all the folks listening to Uprising continue listening to Democracy Now! It's cool that way. I think that could happen in the afternoons as well. Let's see. Rob talked about. Yeah. Hey. Totally. Let's come up with ways at this committee to address some of the issues that the OC is bringing up, and let's pose some ways of solving those problems. That's a great role for this committee, on top of some of the other things that you know it already has in mind. Let's see. Doing a pilot. Yeah, the People Without Borders Collective. That's great. That's a cool example. Honestly, I think with a robust series of specials, you could almost pull off that kind of thing. Sherno, was that example, by the way, back in May? I found some May programs that seemed similar to what you're talking about.
No, they did this just the other day. Dan Fritz, who's a young...
Yeah, I know Dan.
Yeah, so Dan is the one who anchored it. Fernando, at one point, did a little bit of it in Spanish. Dan translated and also later himself asked some questions in Spanish. It was mainly English, a little bit bilingual, and it was done live yesterday.
Cool. Yeah, actually, I just found it here. It's in the interviews section for anybody who's at Audioport looking for it, and you can do a search for... customs enforcement, it'll come up, or do a search for Fernando, it'll come up. So anyway, yeah, that's cool. You know, and I think that's the bread and butter kind of programming that in terms of national programming that people expect and look to Pacifica for. It's the kind of programming that that does push the envelope, and that you know, like Gail said, you know, you're not getting from your TV, and people do expect to get from a place like Pacifica. I love a good documentary. I love a good investigative type show. Is that going to build a daily audience? No, it's a weekly show. Is it going to be a good show? Yeah, sure, totally could be. Can we build a whole, like, you know, fundraising around 1 hour a week? I'm not sure. I don't know about that. I think it could be a really solid hour, though. It could be really good. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's one way to do a pilot. I think it could have some potential. I'm not sure where that pilot would grow into, and I think that's something that we'll have to talk about more if we want to go that route. Margaret, yes, having a face beyond Democracy Now. I would that's again kind of, I think, what we were trying to get at in terms of the staff collective. I don't have my dream show off the cuff right now. I'd have to give it a little more thought and get back to your I have had ideas at different times. Somebody's calling me on another line. I've had a dream show that I've sort of articulated at different times. I've also had a lot of conversations recently. I'd have to sit down and put pen to paper a little bit to think about what my dream show is. I don't have that sitting right in front of me right now. But I think, I understand where you're coming from here too. You know, there's a need that is pretty widely recognized. It's then moving from that need into a proposal and getting that proposal sort of, you know, followed through with. So yeah, there's that. Let's see, Sreen, a lot of your questions are finance questions. I don't have answers to them. Let's see. If you want to know how much informed dissent cost, it was somewhere in the neighborhood of, let's see. It was 10 weeks, and the whole thing was a little over $40,000, so it was just over $4,000 per week. Breaks down to about $2,000 per hour, which is, average to high average for national shows with paid staff. The questions about the Affinity Task Force and that's another committee. to talk to about that. I mean, yeah. And then the Race and Nationality productions. I mean, there's been a number of specials lately and upcoming, and since I started here that incorporate and intersect with race and its intersections with class and gender. I think there's a lot more room for more, and I think there's good ways to do that, a lot of good ways to do that we haven't done yet. And of course, room for growth. I was actually talking with Margaret about this a little bit out in Los Angeles. We haven't followed up on it quite yet, but you know, there's a lot of ways to go about this. I think most of our specials have had some component of it already. I think to do it explicitly, yeah, would be very good. I was also in discussions with AC Bird here in DC about a legacy of slavery type program. We were going to have him, he actually was going to supply some audio, but it didn't work out. The files were corrupted, and we were going to put together a the International Slavery Museum. So, I mean, you know, this is the sort of thing that we're working on an ongoing basis. It's not like we ignore the issue. Kathy, Serene's comments were what you're going to say. Finances, yeah.
Okay, we're at the end of our time, but, you know. Got to finish.
Okay. Yeah, it'll one more sec then. I'll try and go relatively quickly. Yeah, you know, in terms of national programming, I know that it gets paid for by the stations, and that's because the stations have the airtime and therefore access to the listeners. I don't have a cadre of 200,000 listeners or 170,000 listeners, or I think our lowest station is still 110,000-120,000 listeners. I got y'all. Y'all are my listeners. That's what I've got. So, you know, yeah, it's funded from stations, and in theory, it then goes back to stations and pays for itself and then some. Democracy Now! Alone overpays what we contribute to it in national programming. And that you know, all that money would that money goes to other areas as well. So, you know, that's fine. Is there no more money? Then I think we need to look at fundraising stuff. I mean, you know, if fundraising, I mean, we're in 5 of the 12 biggest markets in the country. If we can't raise the money for this stuff, then there's something we're doing wrong. Mm-hmm. We're getting into local programming issues. I don't want to belabor it, but yeah, you know, the question was posed, if we depend on the stations to fund national programming, it may not be possible to do national programming without independent funding. The thing is, the stations are where the programs air. I mean, it's like this really peculiar structure of Pacifica that we would consider that it would be paid for any other way. I mean, grants would be wonderful. Foundations would be wonderful. Unfortunately, we didn't receive $200 million from the Kroc Foundation, so we got the stations to work with. You know, that's how it works.
I'd like to propose, because we really want to keep some time to discuss.
That's fine. That's all. I'll just finish it up, and I'll echo what Wendy said there in terms of...
I have two suggestions. One is that we still have a conference call of what we said last time was it didn't require a quorum of the committee, but those who could make it with the PDs. But prior to that, an urging of the PDs to start discussing it with their staff so that we can be talking about this together. If there would be a way for you to kind of pull together, you know, like this is like a second round of the discussion from last time, but a little bit different also. If you might be able to pull together some stuff to send to our committee and to the PDs, and again, try for a call. But I really do think that PDs need to also be discussing it in advance of that with their own staff, and I think that Ursula needs to be part of this conversation too. So that would be my proposal in terms of, you know, how we can try and move forward. I have the sense that your own feeling is that it is going to take more time, that it could be part of the budget revise mid-year or earlier. But, you know, I think we have to figure out a way to kind of pull this together, to not have like round 3 of our own conversation, but to move it, you know, to a slightly higher plateau now Would that be agreeable to people to go back to what our proposal was last time? And
Margaret, I'd like to comment on that.
Wendy, too.
Okay, Margaret.
Dan.
I would just like to say that if we want to cover the next two agenda items, then we should wrap this up. But I'd like to be on a stack also.
Okay, so can we say another 5 minutes, and since Attila hasn't...
And that would give us... well, that would be on the hour, and then we have 35 minutes of agenda items still.
Okay. So maybe we could, neither Dan nor Attila have spoken yet. Maybe it could be Attila, Dan, Margaret, and Wendy. Were you the other one?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure, no, this is Bonnie. I just wanted to say I was just able to get out of a meeting and get on the call. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay. Hi, Bonnie. Welcome. Go ahead, Attila.
Can I go a little bit later because now I lost my train of thought.
Okay, Dan, why don't you go ahead and we'll see if Attila got his back.
Okay. Well, essentially, I'm just asking a question. You know, we're talking about Democracy Now, which is a tremendous show. It has taken her a long time. It's taken tremendous energy and drive on her part. It's taken tremendous sacrifice. And... you know, we've got a lot to live up to if we're trying to do something on that level. And yet we talk about we have very limited resources, and in fact we do have very limited resources, and we've got a lot of structural problems. So I don't understand why we don't talk more about simply linking up with organizations that can do this kind of thing, because another problem is, you know, we talk a lot about investigative reporting, which we certainly like to do, but it isn't just having resources in terms of time, money, people. You know, when you get to the point of putting a show on the air, you got major liability problems, which could be covered if somebody else did the actual reporting and put it on our station. I'm associated with two organizations which do investigative reporting, which do documentaries. For all I know, they wouldn't mind putting some programs on our station. One is the Center for Investigative Reporting in Berkeley, which is the leading investigative reporting organization in the world. And they place their stories in the New York Times, the Washington Post, the networks, and all sorts of other publications. And the Center for Documentary Studies at Duke University does a lot of documentary work in various communities around the country. There are a lot of universities with journalism programs, and in fact, Center for Investigative Reporting is associated with UC Berkeley. And I'm sure they'd love to have their kids get radicalized and really look into what's going on in their communities with a very critical eye. Then there are organizations that are really out there already, such as Mother Jones Magazine. Now, they do investigative stories all the time in the magazine, and they might be willing to do shows that are related to the stories they're doing in the magazine, simply to get people to read their magazine.
Okay. Attila, did you remember what you wanted to say?
Well, one thing I want to agree that we should get together with the program directors of various stations, all the stations, and to have this discussion. I agree with that. Also, there are investigative report programs on KPFA, and I'm trying to think of the two that are actually back-to-back. I don't know. I just can't think of the programs right now. And I believe there might be on other stations. I'm really sorry that the D.C. station doesn't have more public affairs. That's all I got to say.
Margaret?
Yeah, on your proposal, and Nathan, not to put you on the spot, but I frankly don't think the program directors are going to take us seriously unless we are putting forward some kind of proposal, even if it's some kind of draft. I agree with Wendy that vision is needed. And Nathan, I'm wondering if, since you've been part of all of the talks with the program directors as well as with this committee, and you said that you would want to give some more thought to your vision of a national program, I'm wondering if you couldn't jot down some ideas and send it around to this committee. You know, we could, you know, comment or whatever, but that be a basis, at least a start for a meeting with the program directors, not that we would exclude proposals from the program directors to be put on the floor, but they're just not responding. They're not participating in these meetings. They're not, you know, I don't think taking this whole process seriously, and I think we ourselves have to take it a bit more seriously and start to pin some things down, to concretize it a bit more. And frankly, at this point, you know, the national board may not take this committee seriously, and our audience, you know, that is in great need of this kind of programming aren't going to take us seriously if we really don't get going on this. So I would like to suggest, Nathan, that you give some thought to your vision, okay, for a national program, and that in that vision you consider some of what has been raised in this telephone call as well as your discussions with the PDs. That's not to say you have to do it on your own. There may be other people, Rob, plenty of talent, I'm sure, on the air from Houston, from the Berkeley, from the different stations, D.C., New York, that would have some very useful input. But I think that we should do it, and I think we should have a timeline on it. I think it should happen prior to the board meeting in Berkeley, so that when we have the board meeting and we come to programming, you will have a little bit more to sink our teeth into other than there's disagreement everywhere. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
I hear you.
Okay, Wendy, and then let's see if we thought maybe could get some consensus for Margaret's proposal.
Okay, so I'm really glad. I appreciate very much what Margaret is saying, and I just want to remind everybody that there is a PNB meeting in Berkeley on the 27th of this month, starts on the 30th. It's just a little more than a week away. I don't think it's realistic to think that we're going to get any kind of a meeting with program directors or anybody between now and then. And so, you know, they're having their own struggles right now with their bosses. So I don't think it's realistic for us to expect them to come to us with our unformed vision. When I'm talking about vision, I'm talking about the vision that Creative Democracy Now, it was, you know, I mean, or the vision that put it on all of the stations. I know that it was not just embraced, oh, they're going to tell me what time to put this show on. I'm sure that there was opposition to that. And, you know, there comes a point when I think that we might have to, I agree with everybody that all of our stuff is local, but notice that we have different problems at all of our stations. Some of our stations have an extreme lack of public affairs, and some maybe have too much. I don't know. But it's just like, what, you know, we're going to have to let our executives do their job at one point. We're going to have to support them, us as board members and as...
Well, let me ask Nathan, do you think that it's feasible to do what Margaret has suggested? Because if possible, I mean, I think it may just be 8 days away, but it means it might help the discussion at the PNB among, if the PEDs continue to have this discussion, if we, instead of going back to the same discussion they had, and I don't know, this just doesn't seem to me to be going anywhere this way. Nathan, what would be your thoughts on Margaret's proposal, and do you think it would be feasible to have a call?
And then let me do my last sentence when he's done with that, please.
Right. Because we have to move on. It's critical that we hear from
you. You interrupted me, Sherna.
I'm sorry.
We are almost, we're about 4 minutes after the hour now.
You finish up, Wendy, so we could
Just the other thing that's happening, we have this new programming coordinator that's very open. He comes from a collective background. He wants to get everybody's input on stuff. But what we do is we bring him to these meetings, and then we just jam him about all this stuff. And so I want us to all be part of the solution instead of part of the problem.
Nathan, can you respond to Margaret's idea? And do you think it's something that can be done before the PNB meeting?
Well, two components. First, the part that's rather flattering, that I jot down my own dream ideas and share them with you. I'm happy to do that. I could probably do that before the PNB meeting. In terms of getting the program directors all together in one place before then, I don't know. I mean, I'm meeting with them tomorrow. But even then, I haven't heard from one of them, and another one can't make it, and I just found out about. So I'm really not sure. If and that's, you know, daytime meeting at a time that people are used to. So could we herd the cats before the PNB meeting? Honestly, I don't know. I mean, are we going to get very far if we do? I don't really think so. I think honestly. After this PNB meeting, we could probably have some progress in, like, October. I think at this point, yeah, honestly, I'd rather wait till after the PNB meeting. I'd rather wait till early October.
Well, can I ask this? Could you pull together something similar to what you did for us, letting us know where things stand, kind of pulling together the various strains that have come up in your conversations with the committee, because this is now the second round we've had. Some ideas have been repeated. There's some new ideas. If you could pull that together so that the PDs at least have some sense of what our discussion has been, remembering that we include several unpaid programmers and I think some paid programmers, and you know, maybe that would also help so that they're getting some of our viewpoint the same way you gave us some of theirs.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, okay. Including some of what the input on email that was sent.
Right.
Suggestions sent by email.
And Nathan, if you could possibly do that and send it to us, and then maybe we could, you know, either if there's some things that maybe we feel don't represent some of the points, whatever, we can email you back, and you can have something to present to them.
Sure, I can handle that.
Shana?
Yeah.
Point of information from the note taker, I did not write down Margaret's suggestion because I was thinking of my own. So it's about meeting, Nathan should meet with the program directors before the PNB meeting, and what?
No, can I, what it is, I asked Nathan if he could jot down his idea for a national program.
Right.
That in so doing, obviously, he, you know, would be informed also by the discussions he's had with the program directors as well as in these discussions. I wasn't part of the last meeting, so I don't know what happened at the last meeting. So that was one part of it, is send it out, you know, to us. Right, send it out to the committee. The
mm-hmm.
second part of it was to see if some kind of meeting, as Sherna has suggested, could happen with the program directors, but Nathan is saying that he would prefer to wait until after this board meeting to try to get such a meeting organized.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Serene for the staff.
So where we are now, if we can close this so we have time for Rob's report, is that Nathan is going to try and pull together some of the various suggestions, ideas, problems that people see with different kinds of programming that he could present to the PDs, assuming they're going to get together at the PNB meeting, right?
That sounds good. And I'll do that through a rundown before the PNB meeting. I think a discussion with the PDs will be very productive and meaningful. I just think it'll be more so on both counts after a little bit of time.
Okay, so can we move the agenda in here?
I'm sorry, Shana. This is Serene.
Yeah, Serene.
Just really briefly. Are the PDs being invited to this PNB meeting?
No, not
because that's not. Okay, so it's not a matter of your gathering there. And further, everyone will be in some sort of fundraising mode in October. So it seems to me if it's going to happen, it needs to happen before the PNB meeting, not after.
Yeah, we are going to be in fund drive.
realistically, I mean, I think that, you know, it, in the next week it's not going to happen. And if people are preparing for fund drive as they are here, it's not likely. You know, I fear it would wait till after fund drive. But, you know, this is a process. It's going to take time. So can we move to Rob's report?
This is Gail again. I'm going to have to sign off because I'm having a few physical bothers tonight.
Great having you on.
Oh, thank you.
I feel better.
Oh, I shall. I just have to somehow uncramp my leg. I'm diabetic,
okay.
And it sometimes cramps occur.
Okay.
So I'll catch up with Rob since he's here and catch up with his report.
Okay, great. Thanks so much, Gail.
Thank you.
Feel better,
Gail. Everybody. Thank you, everybody. Have a good one.
You too.
Okay,
good night.
Hi. Rob?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Can we go ahead with your report? Can you do it in...
Yes, I'll try to be very...
15 minutes and give us a few minutes for the last item, if we could.
Okay, let me run through some of the major project areas for the report. First of all, in terms of PodSafe Music Library, for those of you that don't know, if we are broadcasting Pacifica programming on the Internet, we may be liable to paying an additional performance royalty for copyrighted music per a recent ruling of the Copyright Royalty Board. So one of the things that we want to be able to do is to create a library of music from musicians, which is licensed to Pacifica and can be made available both for music programming or to be sampled, for example, for bumper music that will be royalty-free. And this is not something that we came up with all by ourselves. A number of PodSafe Music Library or archive sites are appearing all over the Internet. And pioneering non-commercial stations like WFMU have been doing this for years now. John Almella and Pete Caracas and I met last month with Ken Friedman at WFMU in Jersey City and discussed how they put that library together in some detail. We've also had a couple of meetings with Eva Georgia of KPFK, who has agreed to take on a PodSafe Music project, and she's delegated the operations director, Zubri Fields of KPFK. In turn, we have met with Zubri and the Creative Commons creative director, and we have now drafted a release and an agreement for artists, which we've sent to our legal counsel. So we're almost at the point where we can begin recording PodSafe Music at KPFK, and once we have figured out how to do well with that, we will try to migrate that process to other stations and hopefully be able to make it possible for people to upload music to a website for PodSafe purposes. So that's one principal area of this project. In terms of developing infrastructure which will support digital platforms, some of the things that we've accomplished recently is we now have an itemized listing of hardware and software that we think we're going to need to begin digital distribution, which basically means to have the capacity to develop a Pacifica web stream which can take programs from all of the stations or from the Pacifica Radio Archives, or conceivably even from affiliates, and put them out on a national web stream, which would be available basically worldwide. We also have put some specs on some software programming that will assist us in being able to automate the way in which we assemble such a 24-hour stream from the live webcasts of the five sister stations, so that content could be assembled automatically rather than by somebody doing it manually. We are also doing budgets for things like bandwidth that we may need, and we are talking to the Internet Archive or archive.org, who has agreed to host program content for us and also help us to do things like digitize content that we already have. So we'd like to work with the Pacifica Radio Archives in seeing if archive.org may not have some of the solutions, probably not all of the solutions, but some of the solutions to digitizing and making searchable our extensive audio archives. I think it's something like 49,000 reels of tape. In terms of donors, the Creative Commons people have put us in touch with the MacArthur Foundation that they've been working with, and we've entered into discussions with them about how we might go about developing a funding proposal for the MacArthur Foundation to develop the infrastructure for this project. We've also had discussions with a number of other organizations. There are two large foundations that we're talking to and about five or six smaller ones. I'm also talking with someone I know from the National Endowment of the Arts. So we have a diverse group of funders that we can talk to, and we're just going to have to decide which ones we're going to be able to get proposals to as soon as possible to create a funding base for this. We're also looking at doing some events that would enable us to raise funding locally once we can get some webcasts on the air from Pacifica National, but that's a longer-term project. But again, we've got two very large foundations and about five or six smaller ones that we've been discussing this project with, and we will follow through on those sources of funding. In terms of the producer agreements, we have the Licensing and Distribution Task Force developed an agreement for unpaid staff producers that would basically give the producers a document in which they could say whether or not they were going to grant Pacifica rights to redistribute their programming via Creative Commons licenses. We've now had this reviewed by our FCC counsel, and we're trying to basically reconcile the two different documents and bring that back to the board for approval, at which point we will get those agreements out to our staff. The Creative Commons staff are working on some mock-ups that we can put up on our website that will help explain to producers, whether they're paid or unpaid, why this is in their interest and how it works, to basically make it possible for people to answer questions and do some research about what these things mean and decide what their position is going to be before they go forward and look at this document that will give Pacifica the rights to redistribute stuff. But for those of you that are not clear about the issue, because we technically don't have agreements with our staff that are clear about who owns the rights to the programming that's produced at Pacifica stations. We only have clear rights for the programs that are produced by paid staff. For the programs that are produced by unpaid staff, the issue of ownership is murky. Some people in the network say, well, very clearly we own it, but many of the unpaid producers feel that they, in fact, own it. So what we're trying to do is go forward and be fair with the unpaid staff and acknowledge that they have ownership rights and then give them this document, which gives them the ability to let Pacifica redistribute their programming or not, so that we're going to be going forward respecting the copyright arrangements, the copyright laws that exist. In terms of best practices, the Creative Commons people have agreed to do a series of case studies with us that will help us elucidate some of the sticky issues around ownership that may have to do with photographs or bits of movies that are used in review shows. But that's not an immediate priority at this point in time. For communications plans, what I'd like to do, and I've been talking about this with with both Lonnie Hicks, our CFO, as well as with Nathan Moore, the network programming coordinator. I'd very much like to see, at the point at which we're ready to begin streaming a Pacifica webcast, to do a series of shows with the producers of our technology shows, and those shows include at WBAI, Off the Hook, and the PC show, and at KPFT in Houston, Technology Bites is their technology show, and at KPFK in Los Angeles, Digital Village is the technology show. But we would like to work with those producers and hosts in doing a series of programs about the intersection of the internet and technology with media, with communications media and democracy. And we'd like to bring forward a series of visionary people that are working in these areas that would include folks like, of course, Lawrence Lessig from Creative Commons, but also Pete Tridish and Hannah Sassaman from Prometheus Project, Bob McChesney from Free Press, Jeff Chester from the Center for Digital Democracy, Brad Templeton of the Electronic Frontier Foundation, Richard Stallman of the Open Source Movement, Ken Friedman from FMU, but basically get a series of people that are working in this area where the internet intersects with communications, media, and democracy, and begin putting these issues before our own listeners. And in doing that, all of these are organizations which have their own extensive communications vehicles. So we think this would enable us not simply to announce that we're moving into this area, that Pacifica is beginning to create a media commonwealth by sharing its programming as widely as possible, but I think it will give these other organizations a stake in pointing back to that programming, so that their constituencies will also pay attention to that. So those are some of the things that we're thinking about. In terms of research partnership or resource partnerships that we've now established, of course, everybody knows that we're working with Creative Commons, but we've also been joined by the Internet Archive or archive.org as a major resource partner, and we're in discussions right now with the Future of Music Coalition. And I think that Future of Music will be very helpful because they will be able to give us better access to progressive and politically conscious musicians. And I think there's a lot of opportunity for doing things like licensing concerts, music concerts that are distributed and licensed by Creative Commons through Pacifica and its affiliate stations. And I think that opens some fundraising possibilities for us as well. So those resource partnerships, I think, are going to pay off in the long run. I would also, the last thing I'll say at this point is that just last week, KPFA put together a series, which some of you know about, called The War Comes Home. And the website is warcomeshome.org. And they have a series of stories that are built around the reporting of Aaron Glantz, whom I'm sure everyone on this call knows of. And all of those audio segments are licensed by Creative Commons 3.0 licenses, which enable anyone that uses that picks it up to be able not simply to use that segment, use the audio from the segment, but they can pass it on to others. They can sample it for their news reports or however they see fit. And we've got information of that has now been posted on the Creative Commons blog. So, you know, one of the things that we're beginning to see is that this type of sharing of media on the internet through broadcasting is in fact happening, and I'm very happy that KPFA, has gone forward and done that. So I would ask all of you to check that out on the website www.warcomeshome.org. So that is that's my report, and I'm finalizing my report to the PNB. As we speak. That's it.
Rob, can you make sure the committee gets a report?
Sure can.
Okay. What do we want to do about time, folks? It's 7:24. How long do people want to continue? I'm sure that we've got questions for Rob. And we did have another agenda item. It's not critical if we maybe just say what it is so people could be thinking about it. What do we want to do about time? And Rob, let me quickly ask you, are you going to resume the chair in October?
I assume so, but I'm not sure.
Okay. So what do we want to do about time?
A point of information, Shana, my computer went off in front of me. What's the agenda item, the last one that you said we still have?
The last one that I suggested was status reports on implementation of the national program policy, particularly with regard to program evaluations in new voices, training, and incorporation. I mean, it's nothing that is urgent, but it's something we really have to start talking about, other parts of the program policy and how they're going to be implemented.
All right.
What do people wish to do? My computer shows 7:25.
Which means 10:30.
Oh, this is Margaret. I'm going to have to go sign off, unfortunately.
Thanks so much for being on the call this long, Margaret.
Yeah, Rob, thank you so much. That was an excellent report. I'm really so excited by all of what's happening in that area.
Well, thank you for all your remarks tonight. I'm excited by everything you said tonight.
Sherna and Wendy and everybody, Nathan, everybody in the call, thank you.
Thank you, Margaret.
Good night.
Sherna, I would move to postpone this item till the next meeting.
Okay.
This is Kathy. I do have a question for Rob.
Mm-hmm. Wait, can we first, Wendy, in terms of postponing, can I just ask that everyone at least start to think about it and maybe be talking at their stations to find out what's being done and if they can address the issue next time? How would that be?
That sounds great.
Okay, Kathy, go on. And I also have a question for Rob.
My question is, in this whole process, I understand the benefit of Creative Commons, but I'm wondering if there's any, I don't quite understand if there's any fundraising potential in the streaming of WBAI programming. I was wondering how that's being considered.
If there's any fundraising potential in the streaming of WBAI.
Well, yeah, like in this whole...
sharing.
Yeah, and the sharing of all this information.
Well, the point of share, I mean, the simple point is that the digital media are exploding, and that one of the things we think Pacifica should do with as much of its programming as possible, if people don't want to share their program content, they may have the right not to do that. But for those that do want to share it, we want to begin getting it out there and making it available to the widest possible audience of listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's generally speaking. Now, how that will actually look, whether that's going to be like some big giant audio port, we're not at that point to say how that's going to technically work out yet at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But we also do think that one of the things that we can do almost immediately and that will overcome one of the bottlenecks that we have right now, in that we have a lot of wonderful shows at other signal areas that people don't listen to because they're not in the habit of going from one webcast stream to another. So one of the things that we think Pacifica could begin doing would be to create its own streams of webcasts in which we select programs from the five stations and from the archives and, as I said, maybe even from the affiliates, and put a stream out there and publicize that stream. And then if that becomes successful, then we can diversify that stream so that one stream would be news, one could be public affairs, you know, a third could be arts and culture, you know, another one could be music, although we have this copyright issue with music that we have to be careful about for the time being until these issues are resolved. So we think that that's another way of reaching larger audiences, and we think that what that will do is that will basically enable Pacifica to compete with the other internet broadcasters that our local stations are in competition with. And that if we can use the national programming and a national webcast, we can perhaps reach larger national audiences and regional audiences and that will help to funnel listeners back to the local stations. But it will also give us a sense of what are the shows that we have that listeners want to hear that are from different stations. Right now, it's very difficult, as we've just heard all tonight, to even get the local stations to agree that they need a national program, although I think we all would agree that they do need another national program to complement Democracy Now. But the reality is many of them don't want it, and the listeners don't know what else is out there. So this is one way for us to compete with the Internet and other broadcasters that are in competition with our local stations, and rather than simply taking one station offering, taking work from all of the stations and from the archives to see what kind of a response we get from listeners. Does that answer your question?
No.
Wait. Where are we going? We need a decision on how long we're going to continue the discussion, and if we're going to continue, I need to know who's on the list besides myself after Kathy.
I'd like to get on Stack. It's Bonnie.
I move that we extend 10 more minutes.
10? Is that okay with everyone?
10 minutes.
10 minutes? Okay. So it's Kathy, our spoke. It's me, Bonnie, Lisa, anyone else? Okay, 90 seconds each.
What about Kathy? But I didn't understand why she said no. She didn't get it.
At what?
To answer your question, she said no.
My suggestion is that we get everyone's questions and comments out there as we did before and let Rob take them all at once instead of a lot of back and forth so we could get everyone's thoughts in the 10-minute time slot if we could.
Okay.
Kathy, is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. I would like to explain my caution. Or what I'm sensing about the whole thing, if that's possible.
90 seconds.
Okay. It's not that I don't understand what you're saying, Rob. I do, and I understand the Creative Commons. I think that it's wonderful to get all the information out there. But because I suppose that I'm working at a radio station that has to deal with expenses, that I'm always forced to look at costs and fundraising. So in all of what you're doing, I was hoping to hear some plan or some mechanism that would initiate a fundraising stream. It may be donation stream. It may be some kind of regular fundraising from the Internet. But there needs to be in some way, if we're going to be providing free all this information, that we have to bring funds back to the network, because I believe that Pacifica is on the verge of financial collapse, and anything that we do has to include fundraising. So my request is just to consider how all of this would feed back into a fundraising stream.
Okay, I'll answer that after other people ask questions.
Yeah.
Okay. What I wanted to raise was two things, a question about short segments, like a 30-second intro music or a 30-second outro music. Are we still going to be bound by these rulings on that use?
You mean fair use stuff?
Yeah, number one. The other is issues have been raised about, what defines an unpaid programmer, because as some people might know, we have gotten a budget now for unpaid programmers' needs here at KPFK that we're still trying to work on to cover child care for some of the young programmers with small children who might need it, to reimburse them, to get us flash drives, et cetera. Does that then, someone raised an issue, that then can affect this whole issue in terms of how we're defined. So if you can... are able to address that issue at all, Rob, when you take all the questions. Bonnie's next.
I would, from something that you just brought up, Sherna, actually intro and outro music is not really qualified by fair use. So I would want to kind of know what our thinking is on that. I was curious as to what you meant, just because I might be dumb here and just not get it. What do you mean that Creative Commons and the Internet Archive are our resource partners?
They've agreed to...
Wait. Take them all, Rob.
I'm sorry. I beg your pardon.
Yeah. I just think, you know, since we have limited time, it would make it easier. Lisa, you're next.
This is just a real brief question. I know you said that unpaid programmers, that they definitely own the programs, I mean, in terms of the Creative Commons. And I was just wondering, does that mean that those who are paid, that they won't have any rights at all to their program, to the programs that they work on? I understand Pacifica does own them, but, you know, sometimes they might still have some rights, too. So I was just wondering about that.
Okay.
Okay. Is there any other comments or questions for Rob before he takes them all? And
yes.
I should...
Dan.
Dan? And Attila, did you say you had one, too?
No.
Okay. Dan, go ahead.
Rob, I would like to ask if these issues are going to affect WPFW in a particular way, since we are very music intensive and particularly one kind of music.
Sure.
Okay. Any other questions or comments for Rob to wrap it all up in 5 minutes? Okay, go for it, Rob.
Yep.
This is going to be a miracle of concision.
And I think we all really owe you a debt of gratitude. It's the work you've been doing on this has been incredible and is helping moving us forward.
Well, thank you. In terms of the fundraising, Kathy, if we are doing webcasting for Pacifica, we're taking programming from the local stations. Clearly, the fundraising that we do, whether we do it whether the fundraising is done for membership strictly on the web, or if we do something like the on-air drives that get done, the money will be divided with the stations. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely, that has to be the way that it works. That's our model now, and that's the only way we could do it in terms of going forward. I hope that in doing this project, one of the things that we can get out of this is some long-term relationships with funders that will enable the network to parcel more funding out to local stations to develop their production infrastructure at the local stations, so that news and arts and other type of programming, we can get back in the business of actually doing that type of programming. So those are my answers to that. In terms of the fair use guidelines, I don't think for PodSafe music, fair use is really not an issue. There's no restriction on whether you use an entire recorded concert or a single song, and whether you sample the song as theme music or bumper music or whatever you want to call it. So that's not going to be an issue for PodSafe music. The other question that you asked, I didn't understand, so I can't answer that. I'm just not clear on what the second part of your question was.
Okay, do you want to break
it down for me quickly?
Well, it may not affect any other stations, but or it might as we start to get budget for unpaid programmers. Because right now the way this is, as I understand what you said, unpaid programmers would have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Do unpaid programmers no longer get classified as unpaid programmers if they are reimbursed for certain expenses, as we're trying to do here at KPFK?
I don't know where the line is where you cross over from being somebody that gets reimbursed for your costs to becoming, you know, a part-time employee or a full-time equivalent. I just don't know the answer to that question.
Okay.
In terms of resource partners, Bonnie, for example, Internet Archive has agreed to host anything that we want as much as possible. They've got bandwidth that they're willing to share with us. They're willing to work with us on solving, you know, some of the technical problems that as an archive and a library they've had to work with. So one of the things that we're looking at for PodSafe Music is for example, whether or not the databases that they've set up for their live music library would be useful to us. They've agreed to work with us in that regard. Creative Commons is helping us to do a range of things, including referring us to funding sources. But so they're major resource partners in that they're basically taking the expertise that they have in the internet field to augment our attempt to move into that area. But I mean, it's a word, and that's there is no such thing as a resource partner as a term of art, a legal term of art. That's just what we call the basis of the relationship that we have. That's all that means. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I just didn't know what it meant.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't mean that we're designing a special sweatshirt for them or anything like that. So.
Okay. How about
Then the issue about the rights of paid and unpaid staff. Actually, Lisa, I'm not sure what rights paid staff have to use the content that they produce, as a condition of payment for their work. But typically, if your job is to produce programming, you produce programming, the station owns it. Now, whether or not the entity, whether it's a commercial or a non-commercial entity, is willing to give the producer rights of that is a basis of an agreement that they have with the staff. One of the problems we have is that most of our stations don't have any type of written agreement with their staff about these things. So my hope is that as a result of us developing these agreements with the unpaid staff, so that if we go forward and begin putting, content on the internet, that the second step to this is to come up with an agreement that the board can approve that we have with all of our staff. What are the conditions for paid staff vis-a-vis the content that they produce, as well as what are the conditions that we have with our unpaid staff. And for many of you, that because we don't have agreements with unpaid staff, we periodically run into problems like people get on the air and tell people not to donate money to the station or different things like that. So I think that as a result of what we're doing now, Lisa, we will be developing some better agreements that will affect both the paid and the unpaid staff, but they'll probably be slightly different. Does that answer your question?
Yes, somewhat. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. We've gone over time.
So I would entertain
this is interesting.
Motion to adjourn.
I would second that.
Okay. And our next call is scheduled for a Tuesday. So maybe, Kathy, if there are, once you see the agenda, since you can't be on the call, maybe you can send us any feedback via email in advance.
I'll do that.
Okay. So
I would just ask that the following meeting be the Monday, not the Tuesday.
Right. The next call is scheduled for Tuesday the 16th, and I'm hoping Rob will resume the chair at that point.
Yeah, I heard
you. That's when the archives call is scheduled.
Oh. Okay. Do we want to... Do you want to? Oh, because I think that last time when we agreed on that, Wendy posted it, didn't you, Wendy?
Yeah, October. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you posted both September and October.
I did. You said I did, so I think I did.
So, Bonnie, can you change the archive to the following one?
Maybe. Let's see.
23rd.
I'm already this month.
Okay, well, Bonnie, why don't you and I work it out via email?
Sure.
Since we had a motion to adjourn, and it'll be either the 16th, our call will be either the 16th or 23rd, and hopefully Rob will be here. Okay, thanks, everybody.
Hey, you guys, can I have a personal privilege?
Dan?
Mm-hmm. Bonnie, are you by your email right now?
Uh-huh.
I want to email you something, and I hope you'll read it. This is Wendy.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
In Berkeley, KPFA, we will be coming there.
Yay!
Is Dan
Thanks,
still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, and you can answer my question personally at some other time.
Well, no, we can stay on the call for a couple of minutes.
I don't want to do that right now.
Hey, Rob, I've got a request from you, too.
Yes?
Okay, I'm going to go off.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you, Sherman.
Night.
Attila?